You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And what a day it's been. What an afternoon it's been. And there's still many, many hours to go, Skulk. But at one stage, the S&P was down around about 2%. It's now only down around about 0.25%. At one stage, the JSE Securities Exchange was down around about 3%. And it's halved, more or less halved its losses. You'll give us the close in a few minutes' time. Could this be the turning point? Could people say, okay, that's it. Inflation has peaked in America at 9.1%. Or is there more to come? Give me your thoughts.
So hi, Lindsay. And hi to all the Strictly Business listeners. Mm. And I want to encourage you. I mean, this is crazy. I want to just turn the clock back. I think it's either 1 month or 2 months where we've had exactly the same. It's sort of a deja vu where we said, there we go, it's peaked. Because why did we say it was peaked? We said it peaked because it was on that stage, let's call it 7.6, and the next thing it was 7.1 or whatever. I don't have the figures in front of me. But we said it was peaked, although it was still extremely high, yes, way above this, let's call it 2 to 2.5 levels, where our SA Reserve Bank's got a mandate. You know, our inflation rate should be, between the ranges of, 3 and, I know it's 4 and 6, but let's go 3 and 6. You know, they've got their ranges as well. You know, the U.S. inflation should be 2.5%. Now, we said it peaked because it came out lower year on year than last month than the previous month. Well, hell, man, look at the inflation rate that came out now. Clearly not peaked yet. You know, when we look at the inflation rate that now came out, this is the highest level since November 1981. You know, this is, history lesson 9.
Nearly 41 years. Goodness me.
That's it. Close to 41 year high for inflation. And I'm looking at this and say, well, okay, we know we've had a nice little pullback yesterday in oil prices. Maybe, you know what? Maybe this is now peaked. And this is, well, look at the oil price again today. There we go. Oil price decided, I'll just hold my beer. You know, we're not ready to stop this off, yet. And oil again up, $1. West Texas Intermediate today, 1%, 60 basis points. When you look at Brent, well, Lindsay, I think it's a difficult environment. And I've heard so many permutations of what can happen next. We know we've got the stagflation, talks, very much still in play here. There's people that say, well, maybe we will have an environment that we've now peaked, like you just said, and things will normalize soon. That these, let's call it, interest rate hikes will now kick in and do its job. Then I've seen, this is one of the theories that I'm looking at as well. We know that the U.S. can throw everything except the kitchen sink towards a problem. I'm just going to look at, how they printed money to try and get them out of, a few problems, 10 years ago. That, in my view, let's call it that problem solving or excessive money printing, in my view, is one of the biggest reasons we've got this inflation in the first place now. Now they're throwing in, a lot of these problems. The world is standing together to try and, curb this inflation. My question is, what happens if suddenly you get this massive stop, either through a recession, hopefully no depression, a recession, And we suddenly go from having a massive, massive inflationary problem to a massive deflationary problem.
What would you prefer then, Skulk? Let me ask you this question. Would you prefer prices to be rising because the world's economy is growing? I mean, that's not the case at the moment. The reason that inflation is doing its thing is because of supply chain constraints, because of us coming out of a global health crisis. There's a few other reasons, the war in Ukraine, etc., which seems to be having less and less of an influence. Certainly on an economic point of view, on a socio-economic point of view, it's still horrific. But you see what I mean? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have low prices and maybe even deflation and interest rates coming down? And I may have not have asked that question very succinctly, but do you know what I'm saying? No.
Very important question. I can tell you what the West want and what the East want. Let's forget what I want, because what I, Skull Globe Boyke from Bell, wants is even the rest of the world won't feel diddly squat. So let's explain this in the way of an example. You mm-hmm. know, when you've got a inflation problem. So let's say I've got the capacity. Doesn't matter what capacity, I've got the capacity and I indebted myself. I go seriously into debt. And what I do is I buy assets. And, you know, so let's say I've got 100 Rand and 100 Rand worth of debt. So pretty much I'm zero. I don't have anything left. In a larger, of course, high inflation environment, in theory, that asset or assets that I've bought should grow by that inflation or even more. That's in theory what it should be doing, because as inflation kicks in, you know, most companies will adjust. Let's say inflation kicks in, cement. Let's say I use the example of a house. You know, the bricks that I use, the mortar that I use, all the stuff that I use to buy this house will grow with inflation, and effectively that house will grow with inflation, hopefully plus. Now, let's turn that around. So let's just go ahead and say in the next 10 years, my house has gone from being worth 100 Rand to 200 Rand. My debt did not increase. So debt is not something that grows with inflation. The asset does. So suddenly, I didn't repay my debt. So my debt is still 100 Rand and my asset is worth 200 Rand. I am now suddenly worth 100 Rand. In a deflationary environment, let's say suddenly everything goes down, prices start to drop, and they drop excessively, and they drop excessively over the longer term. And suddenly I can buy that same house for 80 Rand. My debt is still 100 Rand. What am I?
Tell me.
I'm bankrupt. I'm bankrupt. I'm worth nothing. Suddenly people are going to come to me and say, well, the assets that you've provided, the collateral you've provided, it's not enough anymore. You need to give me something else. You know,
okay, so you want an inflationary environment, in other words. That's what you need. But not rampant inflation, not 9%, but you want 2 to 3%, which is nice because it gives the stock markets, the asset classes listed on the stock exchanges throughout the world, the reason to be able to put up prices in a reasonable fashion. Their share price grows, and therefore people like yourself in the financial services industry do well. But all this 9% here and minus 1% interest rates in Germany and that sort of thing, that's just beyond the realms of fantasy to me. And we've been in a fantasy world for a decade at least.
And I don't think the fantasy world is over, Lindsay. I mean, we know now that Nord 1 is going to be closed down for 10 days for maintenance.
Nord Stream 1, which is the pipeline of gas from Russia, which goes through the Ukraine and goes to particularly Germany, but also Italy and places like that. It's down for maintenance, but do they turn it back on after maintenance? And it is a yearly event. They have to close it down a little bit.
It's a yearly event. I mean, no doubt. But we know there's sanctions. We know there's war. Mm. I mean, and with all due respect, I mean, Putin can just say that, yeah, why should I be switching this on? And if that happens, I mean, that'll have a knockoff effect, not just on Germany, like you just mentioned. I think it'll have the effect on already crippled, you know, Western Europe. You know, that domino effect, I think, will flow that. So, again, I don't want to be the doom prophet. I'm going to work with what we currently got. And I'm looking at 9.1%. I know Lagarde already said 3 days ago, earlier this week, she said, well, that's it. I mean, we can't hold off anymore. If inflation don't improve now with the next set of results, we know they're coming out with inflation as well. If it did not improve, we will need to increase interest rates for Eurozone by 0.25%. Now, for most of the listeners out there will say, well, that's just, I mean, 0.25% is like kissing your sister. Come on. We've been raising rates, you know, since November. There's countries that's actually started way earlier than we did. Oh, man, really, you know, 0.25%. What that actually does imply is this will be the first time since 2011, you know, where Eurozone actually increased interest rates. And already we've just said that they crippled. They crippled in the sense that, you know, there's already worries. There's not going to be enough gas, not going to be enough oil. That's going to be a massive crippling. I mean, I read something today that that's, you know, if Nord Stream 1 stays down and they don't have sufficient gas, I'm talking about Germany, that effectively means an retracement of 5% in GDP. I mean, wow. I mean, just add to the mix, suddenly the first interest rate hike in 11 years or since 2011. Yeah, Lindsay, I know we need an inflationary environment, but I mean, this, what we currently got is not good. And we see the reaction. I mean, I've seen a few people that tweeted when the inflation came out. You know, originally, you know, gold was sort of slowly out of the blocks, and you know, the dollar index were also slow to react, which it's strange. I mean, I know the dollar is currently the safe haven because we just talked about Europe that is in big trouble. You know, naturally, the flight to safety, aka the dollar, will happen. But I mean, yo, if you look at a 9.1% inflation rate, it doesn't matter against which currency or which country you compare this 9.1, it will be more than the country you're using, unless you may be Zimbabwe or Colombia. I mean, that is in fact. So effectively, when you look at inflation differentials over time, the dollar should be weakening. And you're going to touch on that now. Suddenly, dollar, you know, is showing some weakness for the first time in many weeks, I want to say. And
look, yeah, at but weakness gold. Is all I relative. Mean, yeah, we'll get to that now. Yeah. In fact, this old boy, there's nothing on the stock exchange news service today. There's no corporate news out of South Africa. So let's go straight into the meat of the matter. And the meat of the matter is starting with the currencies. Dollar rand, 16.92. Was 17.15 to 17.20 at one stage yesterday. British pound against the rand is 20.18. Euro rand is 17.07. Euro dollar dipped below par at one stage. It's now par 87. In other words, just below 1.01. In other words, 1 euro will buy you more dollars in other words, the euro is more expensive than the US dollar. So let's call
first
it
first time in 20 years. Come 20 on, let's years. Do this. This is sort of a 2-decade, 4-decade thing, because, you know, 2 decades ago, you know, it was the last.
Maybe
time,
this is the end of that as well, Skulk. We talk about maybe it's the end of, maybe it's peak inflation, maybe it's peak dollar, maybe it's peak yields on the US 10-year. Who knows? Today could be an important day. We'll look back at it in a year's time and say, do you remember when we had that program where it was nearly par, the euro dollar, and when inflation was 9.1%? Now look at it, 1.7%. Something like that is going to happen.
It's 40 years ago. 40 years ago was the last time the rand was trading 1 rand per $1. I mean, and yeah, we're sitting, you know, 40 years later, and we just can't think that a rand was ever, you know, 1 rand to one. I know it's a different rand, financial rand, different environment, you know. But I do think, you know, you're 100% right. Suddenly, it's 20 years later. There goes. You get more dollars for euros, and things might look a hell of a lot different in 1 year's time, and not necessarily, you know, on the positive side for the euro. Don't just expect the reversion. They're in trouble. They're in big trouble.
Yeah, I've got a feeling about today. I've got a feeling that something, there's been a sea change, and we could have seen the worst. But anyway, let's have a look at commodities. Oh, you'd be happy with the slight weakness in the US dollar, i.e. about 70, 80 basis points. The gold price has rallied to $1,740, which is up $10 an ounce. The platinum price, though, is still under pressure with its status as an industrial metal. It's down 4.2% or $36.50 to $836 an ounce. And palladium, 2.1% weaker at $1,968 or down $42. Let's have a look at that oil price, because that's an interesting one. It's still mired below 100. Brent crude oil is $99.44, which is just very slightly weaker. West Texas, $96.22, which is up 0.4%. And that natural gas price, oh my goodness, look at this, Skulk. Natural gas, 8.8% higher today, and that has rocketed since this morning. It was only up around about 1% this morning. It's now 8.8% higher because of that Nord Stream story, and it's now 6.70, which is still way off its highs of 9.50 a few weeks ago. But this this is a really, really big move today. Something's going on there. Mr. Putin, I think, has got a broker somewhere in New York buying this thing for his own personal account, not that he needs it. Okay, US 10-year Treasury bond yield, 2.95%. The South African 10-year, with the relative strength of the rand, 10.80%, 6 basis points better. And Bitcoin, I've been reading some horrible stories about small investors that got suckered into cryptocurrency schemes. But anyway, that need not detain us. 19,470, down 2%, is Bitcoin. And S&P 500 futures, having been down 2%, and then went unchanged and even slightly higher, it's now down 0.5% again. I mean, the next few hours, roller coaster, Skulk, roller coaster. How are you approaching the market at the moment for you and more particularly your clients at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town?
Yeah, I would urge investors to stay calm. I think be very careful. I mean, I've seen so many people and so many buy the dips, comments lately. That's the one thing I wouldn't be doing. I think from our side, we're definitely looking at good assets. I mean, I chatted to a asset manager, well-known fund manager. And I'm not going to mention because I haven't tested. But he mentioned today, he said, Skulk, you know what? I can't remember the last time I've been this excited about opportunities in the market. I was struggling, a year or so ago, struggling to find opportunities. Now suddenly, I've got a radar that's got 45 shares on it, which I was just hoping to buy a year ago. So I do think that there's opportunities. I do think that investors should not be selling at current levels. But I am firmly of the opinion that, as you just mentioned, that volatility might even get excessive now, for the next 9.1%, as you just mentioned, 1981. That's 41 years ago that we've seen we've seen an inflation rate, U.S. inflation rate of 9.1%. We also know that during that time, they were getting out of the stagflation, which was done by a total reset. A total reset, which they had to take their interest rates to excessive levels. I mean, we're talking about a Fed rate that had to go from 2% over 15%. Yeah. Now we're not there yet.
That's not going to happen.
Well, you know what? If that happens, anyway, be careful. I think be cautious in the market. Make sure that you're not led by emotions currently, because that's the one message we've got. Fear and greed, keep it out of your portfolio.
I don't think you can ever be accused of being fearful, Skulk. You're always very considerate when it comes to things, and you take what you see on the screen, and you're certainly not greedy. I do know that, which is why you're probably quite a successful fella. Let me give you the movers on the JSE on my delayed screen, although it's not delayed anymore because the market's been closed for 40 minutes. Goldfields up 3.6%, Anglo Gold Ashanti up 2.5%, Hammerson a 1.8% winner, and PSG Consult up 1.3%. On the downside, Naspers nearly 5% weaker, Sasol down 4.75%, 91 down 4.5%. PLC, that is. Implats down 4.5%, just over, and Omnia just under 4.5% weaker. What other ones outside of those I've just mentioned have you got, upside or downside, please?
Okay, so for the 91 shareholders, this is a ex-div story, 1.54 rand, so you can start the pacemakers again. Outside, I mean, I think I'm going to call it inside. I mean, just look at your top two, Goldfields, Anglo Gold, Ashanti. I mean, you can clearly see I like my gold shares, so we're not going to harp on what I like. No. I'm just saying you can see the theme. You can see the theme here is that as the inflation rate came out, disappointed on the upside, the 8.8 was expected, 9.1 it came out. We know that if inflation is a problem, that usually is a good sign for precious metals, more specifically for gold and silver. And you can see the reaction on Goldfields and Anglo Gold. So, yeah, good move there. Only two things I can maybe mention is the two small companies, Transcend Residential Property Fund, very, very small property fund. They got an offer to be bought out by Amira Property today. Share price up 20% because naturally the offer is 538. And that's the transaction is proposed to be done at an X distribution level. So there's still a dividend included in that. And then Steinhoff, shame. Steinhoff just can't get a... throw them a freaking bone, please, because the BaFin, which is the Federal Financial Supervisory Authority of Germany, they imposed an administrative fine of 11.3 million rand on Steinhoff.
No, million. I mean, you million or billion?
Yeah, million euros.
That's nothing. No, euros. Yeah. You said rands. Please get the numbers right, euros. Skunk.
Why do I get? Because you know,
because you're numerically dyslexic. It's a common thing.
Leg dicks here. Stick up mother stickers. This is a stuff up. What's it? Anyway. So 11.3 million euros.
Euros. That's a lot.
On Steinhoff. Yeah, it's a lot for Steinhoff. You know, on the size of Steinhoff now, it's not good. But share price down 3.5%. So. You know, 2.48. I don't think it's a massive move now when you look at the market. So, yeah, in general, quiet day, despite I think big economic news that came out.
Tell us how quiet it was by giving us the JSE indices, which have recovered very smartly in the last 2 hours. The value traded and also the live Wall Street, please, Skulkler.
So JSE closed today at 66,143 points. That's down 1.52%. Resources, they recovered 0.82%, but still down 1.91% down on industrials, as well as financials, down 1.51%. And I'm just going to mention the top 40 closed today. Just, I mean, it was fighting for that 60,000 mark, 60,032 points, also down 1.53%. Turnover, not a bad day. I mean, we know that the previous 2 days we've had very, very soft 17 billion days. Today, close to 22 billion rand traded value, 21.71 to be exact. Not a bad day. You asked for the live Wall Street. Wall Street is sort of in between. You know, in the one moment it's a little bit positive, the next moment it's negative. But as it currently stands, it's not turned properly negative. S&P 500 currently trading at 3,798 points, so below the 3,800 mark, down 0.51%. Dow Jones trading 30,758 points, down 72 basis points. And NASDAQ also in the red, 11,231 points, down 30 basis points. I'm going to mention the dollar index again, as we said.
Yes, please.
Now properly below the 108 level, so currently trading at 107.58, so down 30 basis points for today. So let's see. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, I get a feeling. I mean, today is going to be a crazy day. I don't think it's going to end off the way it started. So let's see what the next 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm feeling something as well. And I say that in the nicest possible way. I just feel today is like a pivotal market and economic moment. Anyway, Skulk, thank you so much for your contribution as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.